Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain
advice. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline starts now.
It sure does. This is Dr. Drew, and this is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight joining us, Autumn Reeser. Autumn, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you, believe me. Everyone around there, big OC fans. It's on Fox, obviously, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Autumn plays Taylor, and those of you maybe don't know the first names of all the characters there, you'll remember Taylor as Summer's sort of foil, let's say. Trouble. Troublemaker. Right?
Yeah, she's kind of the nemesis, although recently she's started to be, friends with Summer, which is kind of fun.
Right, she suddenly turned a corner, and you never quite clear if she's really being good or if she's being good so she could be bad.
Yeah, she's kind of socially awkward.
So kind of. In fact, I started writing down words to describe Taylor, and they were not exactly like nice words.
No, not so much. I mean, she comes from a good place, you know. She just wants to do good things in her life, but the problem is she just doesn't know how to do that properly. She ends up being mean to people and throwing people over.
Kind of manipulative, kind of conniving, kind of diabolical.
Yeah, pretty much.
Other than that, she's great. She's totally
other
great
than that,
person.
She's great. Yeah, she's you know, she's kind of too smart for her own good. She doesn't really fit in with everyone.
Was this one of your first, and then you had a couple other, you were on Star Trek, Voyager, and Complete Savage, CSI, Cold Case. You had some other appearances. Was that prior to OC?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been working professionally for, I guess, like, since 2001, I guess. Yeah.
And I was reading your bio that it mentions being a Bruin at least half dozen times.
Does it really? It must have been written by somebody who went to UCLA.
I met you were one of them, yes? Don't tell me you actually didn't even go.
No, I went. Okay. Right. I went. I was in the theater department, but I've never, you know, the last radio interview I did, it was during the UCLA-USC game, and they were saying, oh, are you all excited about the game tonight? And I was like, what game? Isn't that bad? I never went to a game there. I was in the theater department. It's very different. It's very separate from the rest of it. It's in North Campus. You're kind of secluded from everything
brutal.
Else. So I just never
brutal.
Went. I know. Isn't that bad? I'm kind of embarrassed about it now.
My wife's a Bruin. She goes to all the football games. And we live
really?
Over by the road. Yes. So where do you live now?
I live out in Hollywood now. I lived over in Westwood for 6 years, I guess.
So
but I just couldn't
not
handle
that
it
far.
Anymore.
I mean, it's the Rose Bowl's not far. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I will go sometime. I will.
Bad Bruin. So, anything coming up?
No, just the show. I've been working a ton on the show. I just got off work right now, actually, and dashed over here. Yeah, so not really enough time, but we go on hiatus in May, so hopefully there'll be a movie coming up. We'll see.
Is the OC schedule like every other sort of series like this where everyone's getting there at 6 in the morning and leaving at 8 at night?
Or longer. Monday I worked 6:30 to 9:30. 6:30 in the morning, 9:30 at night.
Are you in there most days, or is it a couple days
no,
a week?
No, usually I'm not there. I'm there maybe once or twice a week, but we're doing the prom episode right now. So I've just been working it's so crazy. I've been so tired. I totally slept through my alarm yesterday.
Ew.
I was supposed to be at work at 9. I set my alarm for 7:30. Just slept right through it. I never do that. So unprofessional. I was so embarrassed. I was just tired, I guess.
I guess you also have a film coming up, American Ease?
Yeah. I don't know when that's coming out. I know it is going around to some festivals, and we won an award. I think we won an ensemble cast award at one festival, but I don't remember which festival.
Again,
it's just looking for distribution, you know.
And that character a little bit sort of weird, oblique, too. She's infatuated professor.
Yeah, that's just a small little part, but she's infatuated with her Asian studies professor,
You're not getting a little sort of nothing about you we should know, Autumn? There's nothing to,
I know. It's kind of like being typecast in this thing. It's kind of weird.
And isn't there some irony in the fact that your name is Autumn and you're sort of constantly conflicting with somebody named Summer?
I know.
No?
It is pretty weird. It's pretty weird. Pure coincidence, but pretty weird.
All right, you know how this show goes, so let's give you some easy things to sort of start out with. This is Thomas.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening, Thomas?
Hey, Dr. G, this is a little unorthodox, but do you think I could get like a minute of your time off the air just before I get my question real quick? Just wanted to put that out. We've met before. I think you'll remember me if I talk to you for a second.
All right. But you had a question for Autumn?
Yeah, my question's for Autumn. Autumn, I know, I guess you're probably, 8 or 9 years older than your character, and I was wondering if, that
I'm
makes
ancient.
Special for that. Yeah, how does that work?
I'm, 50 in real life. Now, what, do I do anything special?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Good genes,
I think it's
Thomas.
Actually...
a lot of the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I think it's easier to play an age after you've passed it because you can have a concept about it. You have a perspective on it, whereas, you know, I think it's actually harder to play your own age.
Okay. Yeah, because I know I'll watch the OC and, like, everybody's always talking about how, like, all the characters are always, like, you know, like, a lot older than the people they play. So I just thought I'd ask about that.
All right, Thomas, thanks. God, we got a call on the line here. Just dropped off as a pre-op tranny. I was going to give you that one next, but we'll give you something a little easier.
Thanks.
This is Jenny. Jenny, what's up?
Hey, I read in a magazine recently that even if you're not genetically predispositioned to be a multiple orgasmer, that you can still do certain things to make yourself into one.
No way.
I was kind of wondering about the truth in that. I mean, because...
No way.
No.
You can make yourself a sequential orgasm, where like you may be able to have two or three, but that version where somebody has just one right after the other for until exhaustion, like they'll have, you know, 30 or 40 in a 5-minute period, that with no refractory phase, that's a particular biology, and you can't make yourself that. You can make yourself somebody if you can have an orgasm, you know, pretty easily. You can certainly learn to have more than one. Sure.
Well, that's kind of...
People don't define the terms. I don't even know what they're talking about most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of brings up another question, too, because, like, I have orgasms by clitoral stimulation pretty easily, but then I'm not exactly certain if I'm getting orgasms with G-spot stimulation, like, when I'm having sex.
It's a very different
type of feel to it.
Right. You're probably not, but you may be able. It's hard to say who is incapable. About half women just will not have an orgasm other than with some sort of direct stimulation. Autumn's going to become very silent all of a sudden. Sorry to sort of give you a little fastball here at the top, but some women are sort of the intermediate zone where they can be by either means. This is nice. You're getting a phone call. I'm on the air. Fantastic. All right, Jenny. Thanks
was
for
that
calling,
your ring,
right?
Though?
That was my phone. You calling me?
I like that ring. No, I'm not calling you, but I like that
I'll
ring.
Let it ring. I'll let
I
it ring.
I thought we had again. Background music for a second.
I'm going to call you in a second.
Nice.
I want you to let it ring.
All right. Hold on. This is Trish. What's up, Trish?
Not much. Well, see, like, I have this boyfriend, but I can't really be into him because I'm into older guys.
All right.
How old are you?
She's 14.
14. Oh, my.
How old are the guys
older?
You're into?
How much older? Well, it kind of depends. I don't like them. I don't like over 30 or anything like that. I just like 20 is like okay for me, but I can't really be into my boyfriend because he's like 15 and he kind of bugs me.
Well, 15-year-old guys are pretty
annoying.
Annoying, yeah. That's being kind.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can understand
like
why.
Like little puppies.
Yeah, that's being very kind. So, Trish, it's a lot of women do complain about that. The guy, why are guys so immature? Why are they so retarded? This kind of thing. But it's much better you stay with guys your own age. Believe me.
No, but it's not just that. Like, I can't.
Can't what?
It's, like, really hard for me to even want to date one of them because, like, I don't know. They just don't appeal to me.
Maybe, you know, you shouldn't date yet, you know, maybe focus on schoolwork for a little while, and then when you get a little older, maybe, you know, the guys will mature, and then it'll be more appealing.
What about that? You don't like these guys, so why push it?
Yeah. Because you don't really want to be dating anybody who's over 20 when you're 14. You know, that's...
I would even knock that down a bit. I don't want you dating anybody over 15.
Yeah.
Trish. Really, it's all horrible. Listen... What I always tell young women is if you end up actually dating somebody 18 or older, when you are 18 or in that age group and you look back or you think about one of those guys dating a 14-year-old, you will retch because it's not so much that it's bad that you're just with somebody older. It's the guy you'd pick, the guy that would choose to do that is a problem. All right, Trish. She's obviously very, very convinced. So, Autumn, where'd you grow up?
I grew up down in Carlsbad, down in San Diego area.
And what kind of family did you grow up in? Did you have both family still intact kind of thing?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, my parents are still married, and I've got a little sister, and she just graduated from college up at Santa Cruz. And, we're very close. I have a good family.
Well, somebody calling me again. This time I think it was Anderson. Anderson, was that you calling
me?
Yeah,
but you put it on vibrate, so there it goes.
I recognized your... Let me see if I can get it to go to loud. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. All right, this is... hold on a second. This now is Lydia. What's up, Lydia?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, I kind of had a question. I've been, like, meaning to call, but last night they were, like, overbooked or whatever. So it's kind of confusing. You might get irritated. But I've been, like, basically diagnosed, like, so many things, like anxiety, bipolar, depressed. Like, I had, like a bout of, like, psychosis. And I'm just,
nice.
Like, yeah, like, it's really weird. I've been in treatment for, like, probably 6 years.
Do you do drugs and alcohol?
No, no.
So there was not any drug use that triggered some of this stuff?
No.
Okay.
No. I drank, like, a little bit, you know, like, in high school and stuff, but, like, a little bit more in college, but, like, I've never drank probably more than, like, 6 beers, like, ever in one night.
Right.
You know, like, so, anyways, like, I've, like, been really, really, like, into, like, reading books on, like, trauma and, like, repressed memories and, like, eating disorders and stuff lately.
Uh-huh.
And, I was just wondering, like on the surface, you know, my family seems, like, really great. Like, they're still together, and, like, they're just, like, put out, like, they're both, like, two white, like, rich people, you know, and that, like, I guess, like, they've, like, provided for me financially, and they have, like, good, like, societal values and stuff, but I'm just wondering, like, why, like, I'm so, like, messed up if nothing ever happened to me.
Well, sometimes you can just get psychiatric disorders. You can inherit them. They can develop for biological reasons. There can be other sorts of environmental hits, infections and things can trigger certain kinds of biological changes in the brain. So it's not always about the psychological or the psychodynamic circumstances.
Uh-huh.
And are you on medication right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
yeah,
you sound pretty stable.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot better. Like, I mean, I'm done with school, so I'm not really that stressed anymore.
Maybe it's just manic depression. I mean, it's a very common condition, and it can spiral out of control at certain periods of your life, and it's the kind of thing that it's heritable. I mean, you might look around your family, see if there are people that have had this condition. It's just one of those things. And you sound so good right now. I mean, you sound like your personality is pretty well put together, and you just had this biological disorder, and that most commonly is bipolar.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Drew.
Good luck.
Bye.
Okay. Wow, how about that?
Oh, yay.
Just plug that in for Taylor. John, what's up?
Hey.
What's happening?
Hey.
John's coming from Odessa. Where is Odessa?
Odessa, Texas.
Texas.
Oh, I knew it.
I was thinking Russia. All right, what's happening?
Oh, no. Not much. Pretty much my question is, I kind of lied about my thing because it's impossible to get through to you with a serious question, so... my question is...
why don't we just hang up on this prick right now?
Okay, that's what happened. Sorry about that. Autumn, what else going on? What's coming up on OC? What can you tell us about the story? What can you sort of reveal about the upcoming episodes?
Well, we have the last episode to film, and all I know, it's like, I haven't read it or anything, and it's like super, super top secret. You know, no one's allowed on the set or anything.
Right, it's like ER where they keep it under wraps and won't let anybody in there.
I guess so. I had very it's
stuff.
Very very exciting, but we just we're doing the prom episode, and it's really fun. Everyone's all decked out, and it looks beautiful. And of course, Taylor designed some fabulous prom, and it's like absolutely gorgeous. I can't believe
it's
amazing.
It's gotta be sad. I mean, Taylor was really sort of a peripheral character, and it sort of became increasingly more a part of the mainstream stories, right?
Yeah.
I think it's because you did a nice job with it, and people probably thought the character was interesting. And you could take her through various twists and turns in terms of the relationship with the other characters.
Yeah,
she's
well,
good,
I mean,
she's
that's
bad. She's good. She's
exactly.
Bad.
That's why it's so fun. I never know what's going to happen in every script because she could basically do anything, and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's totally something Taylor would
that's
do."
Taylor. That's possible.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, what's up?
Hello,
Sarah. Call her goes by Sarah. Was she on a car phone or something? Sarah. Fantastic. We are having all kinds of lovely technical problems tonight. let's see if we can get... I'm going to bring Thomas back.
Ooh.
We're not going to bring him back. Oh, my God. What is going on tonight? All right. Taylor, what do you watch on TV? What do you like?
I was listening to your show last week, and you had the guy from 24.
Yep.
Was it last week? Yeah, the guy
Gregory
who plays the president.
Said.
Yeah, he's really funny.
He's very good.
Very cool. Yeah, I think he's great on that show. It's a great character.
He kind of hinted that that's that character may not be all bad or may not be all good, because we were talking about what a wimp he was. He goes, I need to find out something a little different about him. And I was like, all right. Then we started saying, well, he's a bad guy. I said, well, he might end up being a good guy, which I thought was, no. Okay, now.
Do you watch it? Do you watch 24?
I do watch 24. We're going to see if I get my phone to ring. Here, you like that, Anderson? Is that good? Or do you want me to actually pick
the
phone
up? I love that, Drew. I can't picture that coming out of your phone. Drew, you're hip.
What is it?
I don't know. It sounds like some musician's music. Like the dove
like
should
the
be coming
70s,
out of your
man.
Hands.
Awesome.
Sarah's back, just to let you know.
All right, fine. Let's talk to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, what's happening? Sarah?
Hello?
Hey, what's happening?
Hi.
You're on with Autumn Reeser from the OC. She plays Taylor.
Hi.
Keep going, Sarah. Let's go.
It's a full moon, Drew.
Okay. I was just calling because I've been in a relationship for about a year with my husband, as a married couple. And before we even got married, his mother-in-law, started really intervening in our relationship, calling him constantly and, always having to know what we're doing. And I found out I was pregnant in February and had my son in November. And ever since I've had my son, she's just been very controlling and wanting to do everything and, doing things behind my back almost.
Like what?
She gives him baths all the time, even though I gave him a bath earlier that day. Or she'll just, she's always, I don't know, she just very
Does she babysit him?
She babysits him, yeah, for me. I mean, she does help out a lot. But then there's this situation where she's been asking me, about mine and my husband's sexual, life, and she was
That's
asking,
weird.
You know, when you guys first met, did you give it up right away? And,
Oh, my God. What does your husband say?
I tell him all the time, you don't understand, your mom, creeps me out. She's asking me these questions. She calls you constantly. It's almost like she wants to be, in my position. She's jealous of me or something.
There is such a thing, you know, Sarah. There is such a thing. I mean, maybe overtly conscious or maybe sort of on a subconscious basis, but that can happen.
I don't know what to do because I tell him, it bothers me that she calls you all the time because, you know, I want to be his number one girl in his life. You know,
you should be.
Are you sure it's not you overreacting?
I think that I am. Well, I feel like I am, and he says that I am.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And he tells me, you know, deal with it. And I'm just like, no, she needs to deal with the fact that I don't want her calling you all the time and
you
I don't want her
no
asking me these
good
things.
Hooligan.
So what should I do? I don't know what to do.
Why is she babysitting all the time?
No, she babysits. Okay, this is the problem. We live with our parents right now. Because
right, that's your problem. But that's the problem.
We're in the process of moving out.
No, get out. Until then, all bets are off, Sarah. Look, you put yourself in a situation where you can't control these kinds of things. You can't. You're in somebody else's house. You're not independent. You're asking for her for help. Forget it. You got to get out of there. You got to get some separation, some distance, some boundaries, or this is going to be completely unmanageable. Why is she babysitting so much?
The reason I'm calling about it is because it started when we were moved out by ourselves. She called him constantly and, always had to know what we're doing.
Well, he doesn't have to respond to that.
I'm just scared that if we move out again, it's going to happen again, and then I just feel like I'm the crazy one where, you know.
Sarah, be honest. You are a little bit. Come on. I can feel the energy. Why are you pregnant so young? Why are you married so young?
Why am I pregnant, married so young?
Yeah.
It was not a planned pregnancy, and I am currently going to school for my career, and I'm not in an unstable position, but...
What's your career?
I'm going to be a hairdresser. I'm currently going to Paul Mitchell, so...
All right. Well, look, don't worry about what might... Look, you cannot control the situation without physical boundaries. You can't do it. So get out of there, get separate.
Once we move out and get out of the house.
Deal with it then. Look, at the very least, you can stop asking your mother-in-law for all that help. That's one thing you can do, and not have her at your house. And believe me, when you have the grandchild, you have all the power. So you'll see. But on the other hand, you want all the goodies with none of the what goes along with that. You want her to come and just be almost like a nanny or something. She comes in and leaves without interacting with you. Look, you're bringing her into your life in a very big way. So tease that out a little bit. Dell, what's up?
Hi. I've been dating my girlfriend for about 2.5 years or so,
and she, I don't know, I have this kind of, I guess I'd call an obsession or...
Obsessed with anal sex.
Yeah, with that. Obsessed with anal sex, exactly. And my girlfriend's no longer really interested in it. I guess the allure for it's gone, and so I'm kind of having a difficult time grappling with that, and I love
what
it.
I say, what I say, what I say, what I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
That's David Allen Greer. Del, I'm not quite understanding. This is something you and she did before?
Yeah, she used to like it, and I enjoyed it as well, and then...
Now she doesn't like it because it hurt?
No, not necessarily. It's just, it's lost its luster for her. She's,
Autumn, can you imagine that? That's just so shocking.
No.
No,
it's
my God.
A little weird. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it is
weird. She probably liked the novelty of it, and then it's just not that enjoyable.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And so I haven't lost the novelty of it, I suppose.
How long were you engaged in said novel behavior?
Said novel behavior lasted about, I'd say, the first year, and then it hasn't happened in about a year lately.
Did you hurt her?
No, I don't think so. She still likes, you know, fondling and all that stuff, but when it comes to that, it's like, I'd rather not, and so I don't. That's what she says.
Well, thank you for being at least somewhat... gentlemanly as it pertains to this behavior when she asked you not to hurt her.
Well, I'm not hurting her. I'm not just, you know, no, I won't, yeah, I won't elaborate on that. I'm gentle and I'm kind and she likes it and she's enjoyed it. It's not like I've just been going crazy or anything.
And she really doesn't give you any specific explanation for it?
She says she gets nervous when she goes to do it, and then it's the same, it's not exciting for her anymore. She enjoys the pleasure of, you know, anal stimulation and all that stuff, but
yeah, all right, well,
doesn't enjoy actually penetrating. Well, just, maybe it's something to do with the fact that I enjoy it, or I enjoy it more, maybe, or I want it so badly.
What, she has to punish you? She wants to be sure you don't get that which you like the most?
No, that's not it. I think it makes her nervous more than anything, and she does get nervous, legitimately, like, uncomfortable.
Painful?
No, it's not painful. She's never.
What do you mean nervous? Nervous of what?
I think the fact that it could be painful. She's nervous of the effects of it, the side effects of it, and the results of it.
Like David Allen Greer said, the anal prolapse.
Yeah, like any problems that could result from it.
Yeah, good. It's not exactly the healthiest thing. It's not something that was sort of. You know,
right.
You can create problems with that. You can't, let's face it.
Yeah, and I don't know, she hasn't told me about any problems afterwards or anything like that, so I didn't, you know, I haven't been privy to that.
She's a complete freak, Del. Hard to understand how somebody could possibly let go of such a wonderful, wonderful habit. What do you think, Autumn?
Sir
Walter Raleigh?
At least he's, you know, getting some, you know? Like, be grateful for that.
Okay.
You know?
I don't understand the
obsession
with
this. Sounds like she's a pretty nice girl for a year, you know?
Right.
He'd be happy.
Right. I don't understand the obsession with this. I really don't. Maybe you can help me. The guys, particularly these young guys, seem... I think, you know, some recent research has shown that all this pornography and stuff does affect how men sort of perceive sexuality and how they're sort of... how they direct their sexuality, and that's something that's portrayed in pornography all the time, this anal sex thing, and I'm wondering if that's what gets them sort of in this mode with it, where they're thinking about it. It's not intuitive to me that that would be something a young male would necessarily desire.
I guess maybe it's just something different.
Call me old-fashioned. I mean, what can I say? Tommy, you're on with Autumn.
Hey, I was just wondering how you ended up on the OC.
I just auditioned. It was just an audition, and I was excited. I was like, oh, that's fun. I've never auditioned for this show before, and I worked something out, and I kind of thought we'd either laugh me out of the room or, I don't know, because I just thought it was kind of a big choice that I did. But I, you know, I went in, I auditioned, and then I booked it 2 days later, no callback or anything, and then I was at work 2 days after that.
You sort of invented the character.
Well, I mean, it was written, but I definitely, I had a take on it that I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
If it was going to be appropriate for the show or not. you know, just because she's kind of big, but she's kind of campy, you know. But I think the show's, you know, the show's a little soapy, it's a little campy.
Oh, a little. but she's believable, though. I think everyone knows some as a part of her that everyone's come across.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah,
that sort of super anxious, super intense, aiming
needs
to please,
a certain way.
But feels a little like they're intruding into your soul, right? Right.
Yeah, like I said, she's socially awkward. She doesn't quite understand social boundaries, which is why she's so fun to play. Like, it's just someone who's in their slightly own world. I mean, that's a great character. I'm really excited that I've had a chance to play her for this long, and I'll be there next year, so I'm really looking forward to it.
That is Autumn Reeser, and the character she's talking about is Taylor Townsend. She is... How would you describe Taylor? I know, it's nice. Describe Taylor.
She kind of started off. She started off as like the complete nemesis. It's just the bad, you know, the bad seed in school.
The troublemaker, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then she sort of developed into, you know, we saw it was covering all the stuff with her mother. You know, her mother's super controlling and she can't do anything right. So now she's just sort of like sweet. What did Summer describe? Summer described her as like a abused puppy syndrome. A girl with abused puppy syndrome.
Nice.
You know, the puppy just keeps coming back for more abuse. She's
kind of dogs those grow up to be, those ones that bite you when you walk by. Good times.
That's what's fun about her, you know?
OC is Fox, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. More Autumn Reeser, more you, more me when we return. Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Autumn Reeser kindly has joined us tonight in spite of a full day on the OC set, right?
Right.
I mean,
no,
right.
I'm so excited, though. I listen to the show twice a week.
Oh, my God, just twice a week.
When I'm driving home, you know, I like it.
From the OC set?
From class. I still go to an acting class.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and it ends at, like, 11:30 twice a week, and it's like I look forward to it so much. I get so mad if I get in my car and, like, commercial's on. I don't have time to listen. I'll totally sit in my driveway and, like, finish listening to it. I love your show.
We will have to rebook you for more nights up ahead. Again, your biography, I don't know if you've ever read it, but whenever publicists put together biographies, it's really just embarrassing.
No, I've never read it. What does it say?
You ought to read it, by the way. But, Autumn Reeser discovered acting at the age of 6 while watching a performance of Cinderella. You okay? You want to retch now or should I keep going?
Oh,
anyway, but there was some useful information there. For instance, that you used to work graveyard at Jerry's Famous Deli in Westwood.
I did. They wouldn't put me on the dinner shift because I was a really bad waitress. So I used to work, and because, like, you know, I was going to college at the same time, so I would go to work at 11 p.m. and finish at 5 in the morning.
Beautiful.
It was brutal, and get up and do a day at school. It was brutal.
Yeah. And then you had an internship at a casting director's office. That must have been like having a deal with the devil.
No, not at all. I really wanted to do that because I just wanted to know what the industry, you know, what it worked like from the inside out. Because you read books and you can't really tell.
Yeah. Who was the casting director?
It was Mark Sykes.
Uh huh. And it was interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Well, you know what? Honestly, what was most interesting to me is how many girls think that they can put on as little clothing as possible and walk in, and that's going to get them a job. Like, it's kind of appalling. Like, they don't really read the script at all. They just do a Marilyn Monroe thing and, like, mini little skirts. It's just, like, it's embarrassing. I was kind of embarrassed for them.
That's
what I learned not to do.
All right, let's take some more calls here. This is Katie. Katie, what's up? You're on with Autumn Reeser.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Katie.
It is so good to talk to you. I absolutely love the show. I just have learned so much from the show. And because of you, I've...
Just do it! Anderson has no patience with anybody giving me compliments, so thank you, though, Katie.
I've been seeing a psychologist for a year, and I went to Al-Anon finally, so...
Cool. Excellent.
Good stuff. Excellent. I have some questions about HPV.
Yeah.
I've had it. I found out when I was pregnant that I had it 5 years ago, or over 5 years ago, and I haven't had it since I was pregnant. I mean, well, I still have it. It's a virus, obviously. But I haven't had the warts since I, had a baby.
Okay.
So I'm dating someone, and I haven't dated in a while, and I want to know how to approach telling him.
I think maybe sort of arm yourself with some facts to make you feel better about it, at least. Mm-hmm. One, 50% of people your age have HPV, okay? Mm-hmm. Two, a significant percentage of the HPV will sort of regress by itself. It may be gone, what you have. Mm-hmm. However, the ones that persist, and those tend to be the ones that keep producing warts, are the ones that are associated with the cervical cancers. And then finally, there's going to be a vaccine like any day. I mean, we are just on the verge of this vaccine being distributed, and this will be sort of no longer an issue at that point. So maybe what you got to do, first of all, are you going to be having sex with this guy? Do you know that? Is that coming soon?
We've only been dating for like 3 months, but I really want to take my time. Cause
well, you have been. So, Autumn, what do you think she should say?
I have no idea. I wish I could be helpful.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's incumbent upon you to bring it up. I think any guy, you know, I hope most guys know that it's just, if you're going to be sexually active, he probably has this too. That's the other thing, that you use a condom religiously, and that he get both of you, in fact, get the vaccine as soon as it comes out, and it becomes a sort of a non-issue.
Well, what would it matter if I had the vaccine because I already have it?
No, well, to protect you against other kinds of the virus, potentially. I'm not sure if the vaccine is going to be given out to people that have the virus or not yet. I haven't seen these sort of prescribing details, but it may be for you also. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And again, in all likelihood, your vaccine has gone away. Your virus has sort of gone away on its own anyway, in all likelihood. So you bring it up, you wear condoms, you're honest about it, and you plan. And the probability he already has it anyway. Okay?
I know. The thought of telling anyone, hey, I had warts a couple years ago,
HPV sounds better.
Okay.
And maybe he's going through the same thing, too, you know, stressing about how he's going to tell you.
You never know. Guy's been hanging on pretty well here, 3 months, and is he dating other people? Are you both dating other people?
He was dating someone else for a while. I had a friend with benefits, but he doesn't really know about that. I don't know.
I think he might be more upset about that than the warts, frankly. Katie, what's that all about?
Well, I just...
he's going to be so upset about that.
Well, I'm not going to tell him that.
I'm just saying that's going to bug him. Here's how a guy's head works. He's going to go, what about me? What are you doing here? I was being this nice guy and you were carrying on with somebody else?
Well, that's because, I tend to gravitate towards people who are really messed up, and he's really nice, so I was sort of dating someone who was really messed up. And
all right, so, and you've got some insight in your treatment as to why that is. And
yeah, I've got tons of issues. I don't know, I have narcolepsy, and I'm on Lexapro right now.
Well, none of that has anything to do with why you date a-holes.
Well, I don't even know why, but...
Well,
Is
she asleep right now?
No, she's fine. All right, Katie, I'm glad you're treatment. Keep going. Be honest. It's going to be fine. This is Chris. What's up?
Hi. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good.
Hi. So pretty much, I'm trying to fully get over my ex-girlfriend, pretty much my first girlfriend. I'm 17. She was 18. Aww. She's going to Washington College. And what pretty much started it all, I found out all the...
What do you mean, Washington College? You mean University of Washington?
Yeah, University of Washington.
In Seattle or in St. Louis?
Seattle.
All right, and?
And after we broke up, I found out that this one night she got really drunk. She ended up hooking up with four of my friends. This was also the night of our, 2 month or 1 month anniversary, and I got caught, having her in my room by my parents, and my parents, of course, are no girls in my room. And, it seems like she kind of avoids the topic when I try to, kind of bring it up. Like, she doesn't feel any remorse about it, and I'm kind of having a hard time just dealing with it.
First of all, just a quick question here. Yeah. Hooking up is sort of a term shrouded mystery. What do you mean hooked up?
Okay, it was spin the bottle, and she ended up making out.
Chris, calm down. All right, buddy, hold on, relax. Autumn, what do you think? What do you think's going on here?
That's much more innocent. I thought it was like this big orgy that happened. I mean, wow, that's
Taylor. How dare you?
Stuff going on.
Yeah.
What? I mean, that's innocent. That's spin the bottle, right?
Right, but we were like going out though and everything, and it's like the fact is that the day I found out, she tried to pull it off as if she was saying she found out that day too, as if she got so drunk that she forgot.
That's hard to believe.
I mean,
she's probably embarrassed and doesn't want to hurt your feelings.
But still, I mean, we were pretty honest where it was kind of like I wouldn't judge her, but the fact that she kind of tried to hide it from me and I had to find out from the people. Like, I found out one by one.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, hold on a second. Hey, Autumn. Chris is like a male version of Taylor. Isn't he?
He's really cute. Aw.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's see if he's not your boyfriend. Chris, wait, is your girlfriend up in Washington right now?
No, she's in England right now for spring break.
All right, has she tried to break up with you?
Oh, no, we broke up. because she was going. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, she was going to Washington, and
yeah,
you know,
that's really
like,
hard. Long distance, and you're 17.
That's
smart.
Yeah,
she was intending to break up, buddy. She was.
Right,
she
I knew that. I knew come yeah. September she would have to move away, but it's kind of like, you know, might as well enjoy the time that you have.
All right, aww, just relax. It's all
but
fun.
Now you can enjoy the time that you have with girls who still go to your school.
Right, but it's still when I still see her because almost every single day, and it's kind of like some days I'll be really, you know, hesitant to be around her. At the same time, I'll be really...
Why do you see her every day if she's up
because
at Washington?
Her classes are like right next to mine, practically.
Are you in Washington
she's
also?
She's leaving next year. No, she's leaving next year, right?
Yeah, she leaves like in the summer.
It's like her senior year.
I'm a junior.
Hey, yeah. Chris, just a word to the wise here. Just turn it down a couple notches. If you're going to replace this girlfriend with another one, girls don't like that sort of super desperate, anxious stuff. Just, it's all good. You're fine,
and it's
buddy.
Your senior year. You have so much to look forward to,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's good. These relationships are supposed to end. Where are you going to school?
I go, right now or for college?
College.
Oh, I'm in high school right now.
Yeah, but you're a senior, right?
Oh, no,
he's a junior.
She's a senior.
You're a junior. Okay. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? It's Taylor. I swear to God, it's Taylor. Where do you want to go, Chris, is college?
Either Cal State or Texas.
Where in Texas?
University of Texas.
Which one? You mean UT?
Yeah.
Austin? All right.
Yep.
All right, Chris. Good luck. You're going to be fine. It's all good, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Oh, that's awesome. The male
cool.
Taylor. Male Taylor. It's huge.
Give him like 2 months and he's not going to remember any of this. There's going to be like so much going on in his life senior
year.
No,
Chris is busy cataloging all this, believe me. He's going to have a little, you know, rundown sheet of all this. All right. Quickly, Jared, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, what's happening? You're on with Autumn Reeser from the OC.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hey, good.
Watched your show like a long time ago. Can't even remember who you are, really. Sorry.
That's because I wasn't on it probably then.
Not only that, just for that a-hole remark, I'm putting Jared back on hold. Let's take a break.
Aww.
Huh? How about that? Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. Jared, you can't just say, hey, I love the show, and get on with your question. And then he's got to say, I used to watch the show, but it sucks now, and I never saw you anyway. So anyway, my question. So, come on. No, my daughter loves the OC, and she was very into that whole Taylor Summer thing when that was going on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. When it was very
conflicted. Big drama.
That was big drama. It was a little creepy. A little creepy. Well done. Autumn Reeser, she plays Taylor Townsend on the OC. It's Fox Thursday, 9 o'clock. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We will be right back after this. That's right, Love Line 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. Autumn Reeser, she plays Taylor Townsend in the OC, Fox Thursday, 9 o'clock. How old is Taylor on the show?
I think Taylor's 17.
And you're
she gets to look forward to an 18th birthday party, I hope.
Oh, yay.
It'll be fun to have that on the show.
And that's, I mean, you really pull that off, that 17, 18-year-old. And you're not that, right? How old
are
you in
life? No, I'm 25.
I
look really young. I've always looked really young. And I like playing that age a lot. I think that age is really interesting. The whole, like, transition from high school living with your parents to living in the real world on your own. I just find that really interesting.
How was that for you when you were growing up?
It was really tough for me. That
miserable,
was
right?
Miserable. I mean, that was...
Everybody's
just
miserable.
Just tough. Figuring out how to live your life on your own, you know, without your parents around.
Yeah.
And it's just... I had a really hard time with it.
Do you have a boyfriend in high school?
In high school, I did. And he moved up with me to L.A., and, that was over pretty quickly.
Well, after all, you were doing the overnights at Jerry's Deli. I mean, you had all kinds of
there was,
important
well, that was
things
the
to
big
do.
Part of it. I was just plain too busy. I was too busy, and I wanted to be an actress, and it takes a huge amount of time, just enormous. And there was no time for him, and he, you know, he didn't want to just see me on the weekends, so.
Was he at UCLA? Was he in school also?
I mean, I think he eventually did go to school, but not at the time.
Oh, boy. Kylie, what's up? You're on with Autumn Reeser.
I have a question. When I'm around guys, like, whenever they touch me, I feel, like, really gross. Like, I start to have, like, a panic attack or something, and, like, I feel like I want to puke. Like, even if they just put their arm around me or something, or if they, like, I'm 17, and I've only been kissed once in my life.
Do you get, hang on, Kylie, do you get super nervous, like have an anxious because you don't know how to behave and just being social is overwhelming for you, or you sort of freeze, like you've been victimized in the past, and you just get this horrible freeze reaction?
I think it's more of a, like, freeze thing. I don't know.
What happened to you then?
Well, I have no clue. Like, if anything did happen, it was when I was really small, I think.
But do you have a sense that something did, or that... Do you suspect?
What?
Do you suspect something happened?
Well, I kind of have a suspicion because, like, my dad, he got, I think he had a felony for, like, I think he raped my sister.
Well, that's a hint there, Autumn, don't you think? Maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
And God knows maybe what you, first of all, who knows what that guy subjected you to? Secondly, maybe you had to witness something awful when you're growing up, don't really remember it. And then maybe he did something to you. Of course it would be, ugh, awful.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Yeah, and you've got that little girl, it's that little girl voice that we found in this show that when women are sexually or physically abused, they sort of you can hear the arrest. Their voice sort of stops developing. You can sort of, they sound like you're talking to a six-year-old. So, Kylie, what do we...
therapy for it?
There we go.
What did you say?
Have you ever gone to therapy?
No. Well, I'm seeing a counselor, but...
And what does the counselor think?
She said there was a good possibility that I was abused when I was a kid, but I want to know how to get over it because, you know, I mean, I've only been kissed once and, like, all of my friends are doing it, and it's like I feel just... terrible
well,
when it happens.
All right, here's the deal. One of the things you need to do, well, you need to stay in therapy, first of all. Secondly, you need to slowly sort of decondition yourself so you can tolerate being with boys. You've got to get with males in safe environments where you can sort of be with them without being overwhelmed and anxious. My concern, though, is if you start, you know, carrying on like all your friends are, you may sort of spin out of control because that's kind of what happens if you were, in fact, sexually abused. It's commonly the case that somebody like you could flip from being shut down to being over-sexual. So kind of take your time with this. Go very, very slowly. This is Joshua. What's up, Joshua?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey.
What's up? You're on with Autumn Reeser.
Cool. All right, well, my question is, my girlfriend, she has penis, I think she has penis envy. Because she loves my penis. Like, literally, she just can't. Like, she wants me to walk around the house naked. Like, literally, penis is always on her mind.
Wow.
And I want to know what's up with her, yeah.
Maybe you should buy her a strap-on. She could have one of her own.
Autumn, you are all class.
Sounds like a good solution.
Well, why not? What the hell? What do you think that is, Autumn? You're the woman in the...
Maybe she's just... I have no idea.
That's not a typical impulse? That's not something you sort of can relate to in any way?
I mean, unless he's like an exceptionally beautiful one, who knows?
The two words, I not think of a beautiful penis, those two words do not like belong together. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So what were you saying, Joshua? Were you speculating?
I was actually thinking maybe penis envy. But
well, you keep throwing that term around, and that's you're getting into some heady areas there.
Where's the problem? I don't understand the problem.
Right, Anderson is outraged. How dare you?
I just wanted to know if there was a reason behind it. I couldn't.
Well, is she there?
Yeah, she's here.
Can I talk with her?
Of course.
Thank you. What's her name?
Her name is Katie.
Katie. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, she's going to be just delighted. She's going to be so happy.
Surprised she's not sitting right there with her hand down his pants.
Yeah, I'm very excited to make this call all day.
Katie.
Yeah?
You're on the radio.
I know.
Okay. What is this? What's he talking about?
Okay, like, seriously, like, any times I can get my hands on it, I do. Like, I don't know why, and I don't know what it is, but I just like to touch it, do...
How about if you're out to dinner with your parents?
What?
How about if you're out to dinner and your parents are at the table?
No, it's just like when we're by ourselves sort of thing.
All right, well, I mean...
It's not like in a social setting, but if we happen to be by ourselves...
That's not exciting, that's boring.
Do you feel bad about this?
Oh, no, not at all.
Is it just his, or have you sort of always been this way?
It's just his, because I'm 18 and I've only had, like, only had five sexual partners. It's kind of a lot for my age, but
And his, so far, he's my longest boyfriend that I've ever had, and so far it's only been his, so.
And you, but you didn't have the same affinity for the other male's anatomy, the other young friends.
No, not really.
Just this guy, something about him.
It's just something about him. For the record, beautiful and penis can be used in the same sentence.
No, no. No, that's that. Now you're, I'm convinced you're disturbed, Katie. There's something very wrong. So listen, it's good times. There's nothing wrong with this. I think this it's just sort of an exaggerated version of something that's kind of a normal impulse to some degree anyway. And whatever, you're okay, right? Your relationship's going well?
Oh yeah, it's totally like going smooth like nothing. We haven't even had a fight yet, and we've been dating 9 months.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, we have a really good relationship, and I don't know. He tries to learn up and down that I have penis envy, and I try to tell him no. So
well, you have something, an affinity for it anyway, if not an envy for it. It's fine. He's just busting your chops a little bit. We got to take another break. That's Autumn Research. She plays Taylor Townsend. She's getting quite an education tonight. She's going to take it back. It'll be part of the upcoming stories on the OC. You can see that Friday, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. This is Dr. Drew. More us, more you after this. Here we go. It is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Our guest tonight, Autumn Research. She plays Taylor Townsend on the OC, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. And she's just sort of collecting a lot of potential, you know, storylines for the show tonight, you know.
Seriously.
Tell her about the caller last night, Drew.
We had a great call last night. I was talking to, I just remember her name was Anna. In the middle of the call, I said, Anna, I have to go to this other call. Because on the screen, what came up was, you know, Jonathan, 25, piercing, infected, penis removed. This is what I see on the screen. And, poor Jonathan indeed got in a sort of a flesh-eating bacteria kind of thing after a piercing and had to have the penis taken off. And, in fact, the infection went deep, so they had to sort of debride, what we call it, or remove parts of the pelvis and stuff. And so he had, like, no feeling down there.
God.
Catastrophe. And the guy was just devastated by
this. He was crying.
He was crying and stuff. It was, like, awful. Yeah, it was awful. It's really interesting. Men are
really
so interesting.
Sad.
You know, he's
really
allowed to cry because he's technically a girl now.
You know what? I saw this special on, like, the Learning Channel or something about these twins. There were two twin boys, and they were doing a circumcision on one, and they accidentally burned off his penis.
Right.
And so they decided to raise him as a girl. Have you heard about this?
Yes, and it didn't go so well.
No, it didn't go so well at all.
Yeah, the biology will prevail. You can't make a male a girl. It just doesn't work unless you give them something that blocks the hormones and stuff.
Yeah, and he ended up committing suicide. Later in his life, because, you know, he just didn't know who he was.
It didn't fit, right? Everything wasn't right. It's just an awful thing.
It was so sad. It was such a sad story.
Yeah, and it's guys are so weird when it comes to their phallus, too. I mean, they are so, no, really, they're so invested. We get calls on this show all the time. Guys are worried about the size of their penis, and you find out really what they're obsessed about is how miserable their life is and how they just feel small and insignificant and not worthwhile, and the penis just becomes the symbol for themselves. And this guy was talking about how he felt like his self wasn't existing the way it used to. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. He felt like a big part of the self had been removed with this, too. It wasn't just that he couldn't have sex. It wasn't just that he was having issues with his wife and he had to urinate into a bag and all these lovely things.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was very sad, very sad. But,
that's awful.
You know, talk to Adam Brody. I'm sure he'll be up for this as a storyline. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, right by him tomorrow.
It's funny. He and Peter Gallagher were up on Loveline about 2.5 years ago, something like that. How long has OC been on the air?
Four years? Our third season, yeah.
Third season. So it was about two-thirds of the way through their first season, and he was still young and enthusiastic. And now we can't even get him to answer the phone.
Aww.
Yeah, please say hi to him. They both were great. I mean, Peter and they're both great, great guys.
Yeah, they're really great guys.
Very nice guys. Peter plays the dad. What's the dad's name?
Sandy Cohen.
And then Adam, of course, is, I don't remember the name, Summer's boyfriend, the Sunset friend.
It took me the longest time when I started on the show, I would have to, like, run their names in my head because I couldn't decide whether her real name was Misha or Marissa. It just took me a while to, like, get it all adjusted.
Right, and then you're Autumn and she's Summer. What the hell?
Yeah.
So, all right, Jared, I'm going to give you another chance here, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
All right, what's happening?
For so long.
All right, what's up?
All right, the thing is that my girlfriend, she was giving me head, and I don't know, probably like two nights have been gone by since then, and like the tip of my penis, I don't know, it's kind of like a hickey. Is that possible to get a hickey on the penis?
It's not a hickey so much as a bruise. It's just like any other soft tissue, you can bruise.
Really?
Sorry, buddy.
It's over.
Devastating.
Hey, can I ask one more question?
Yeah, as long as you don't insult the guest again.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. Another thing is like, for some reason, I get, like, after my girlfriend gives me a head, like, or even have sex, I'll get, like, really sick, like, for, like, 2 days after, and it's like, I don't know, it's almost like a flu sick for some reason. Do you have any, like, anything?
That's weird. Say this again. Every time you have, like, sexual contact?
Not just sexual contact, like, just if I have sex or if I either get head and anything else, I'm good. But I don't know, it's just, I get like the flu. It's weird. Not the flu.
Jared weaves such potent yarns, I have trouble following him. Did you get that summer? Autumn, I mean?
See, I'm telling you, it's difficult.
I got the summer thing in my head.
It's difficult.
Well, it's kind of scary because like I almost like, I want to puke and I don't know.
Do you like your girlfriend? Do you like her? Like, do you really like her?
Oh, we've gone now probably about 5 years now. So, since 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wait, Jared, if you have intercourse, you're fine.
Yeah,
yes?
while I'm doing it, I'm fine. What's that?
If you have oral sex, then you get this flu-like syndrome a couple days later?
Yeah, it's like 2 days later I'll get it. And, like, it's almost like I'm going to puke. Because, I don't know, like, I almost think about it too much. Like, oh, my gosh, I did this. It's pretty cool. And I try to, I don't know. It's a guy thing. I think about it a lot, you know? And then all of a sudden, I start getting sick. And then if we do it again, I'm back to all good. But then all of a sudden I'll get sick again. It's really weird.
Again, Jared, I'm having trouble really following exactly what you're describing. Do you get fever and chills? Hang on a second.
I get nervous. Nervous and like almost like I haven't ate enough.
Autumn, can you help me out with this?
I've never heard of something like this before.
You get nauseated a few days later. I wonder, how often are you having sexual contact?
Probably about four to three times every 2 weeks.
And well, so you may be making an association that's sort of spurious. All you really know is you get nausea every couple of days, and it's often a couple of days after you have sex.
Also, me and my girlfriend, we've tried one time. I said, let's just stop for like 3 weeks and see what happens, and I was totally fine. Like, I didn't get sick. I was all good.
I don't know what that is, Jared. It's not as though that's a common complaint you're describing. I would definitely have a doctor look at that because I suspect it may not be related to the sexuality next to the sexual experience so much. Liz, what's happening?
Hey, hey, Dr. Drew, long time.
Hey, Liz.
Second time caller.
Nice.
I was just wondering, I have heard of obviously like the wet dreams for guys and stuff, but lately, and I'm talking three times, twice in the last 2 weeks, and the first time was about 2 months ago, I have had an orgasm in my sleep.
Good times.
I've never heard about that for women. And, I mean, I'm not complaining. I just think it's really weird.
Autumn?
And I don't know what's bringing
wow.
it on.
Congratulations.
Right, exactly.
What do you say? That's great.
Hey.
Enjoy.
Sex without the risk.
Yeah, but I guess.
It absolutely does happen to women. It is very common. It's not as predictable as with a male. In other words, with a male, if the fluid isn't removed, God's got to take it out during the night. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It pretty much has to happen to a male if he's not masturbating. For women, very much dependent on cycling and other things in their life and testosterone circulating, testosterone levels, this sort of thing. Is there anything else going on? You want any medication? Has anything changed? Lost or gained weight? Working out?
Nothing has changed. I'm not on any new pills. I'm not on anything. I haven't lost or gained any weight.
No new relationship?
No, I've been with my boyfriend for 6 months. I thought it was, I've never had an orgasm with someone. Mm. So I've been just myself. And so then I don't really like do it a lot. And so I thought, okay, well, it's been a while. And so after the second time, which was 2 weeks ago, I, you know, had some fun. And
you
then
picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, if it is like a male, like, as it dies, if they go too long, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
I thought if that was the case, if it had been too long, so I kind of, you know, took care of it,
doubled down. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it happened right afterwards, like the next day.
Autumn, can you help her?
Maybe you're just entering into a more sexual phase in your life. Maybe you're growing into yourself more as a woman, you know, and you're just enjoying your sexuality more.
Could be.
Okay. Right on.
Right on. All right. Have fun.
Keep going.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see what we got here. This, I don't know what this is all about. Let's see what this is. Elaine?
Hello?
Hey, Elaine. What's happening?
Hi. I just want to call up. I heard that girl talking earlier about, like, you know, she was molested when she was younger, and she, like, wanted to get over it.
Yeah.
And, well, I was molested by my stepfather when I was younger, like, you know, when I was 13 and the day before my 14th birthday. I remember that one very strongly. Oof, and
awful.
Yeah. And I just want to, like, let girls, whoever's listening, girls and guys, know that if you're molested, you know, that kind of stuff, there's nothing really to get over. It's kind of like it has to heal on its own, or you have to see someone if it doesn't. Because I'm 19 now. And I'm a manager, and I'm going to school and going to college, and I'm perfectly fine.
Great. That's awesome. The best thing, I think, Elaine, for people to think is of is not that, you know, if you're not thinking about it, or if it's the memory isn't vivid, I must be over it, or I've dealt with it. Because these things leave an intense sort of implicit memory upon you. They change how your brain operates. It changes how you relate to people. And that's what needs to be sort of dealt with. You need to be able to reestablish close connections with people without fear of exploitation and abuse.
Right, yes? I just wanted to call to let, you know, anyone who's listening know that, you know, you can live a normal life. The only thing
about me
is that I just never had sex. It's just that he molested me, and I think that's the only thing that's ever really, you know, that's ever really scarred me is that I don't want to now.
You don't have sex at all anymore?
I've never, no. He just molested me. He didn't rape me. He just did just about everything else you could.
Yeah, it's awful. Well, it will. The biggest place it leaves its print is on relationships and the ability to be close, to be sexual. And as I said to that girl, people who have been abused will fluctuate back and forth oftentimes between being shut down sexually and then becoming over-sexual. So be careful that that doesn't happen. And the other thing is just being able to be close to another person can be very threatening and problematic. So just pay attention. Make sure if that starts happening, you get some treatment, okay?
All right.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's not as though you're broken or something. You can never be, you know, never have a normal life if that kind of thing happens to you. But it will, and pretty much always does, affect relationships. Tori.
Yes, I have a question. About over a year ago. First of all, I've had 3 kids since I was 18, and about a year ago, I had a vasectomy, and
Thank God you're like a menace. You had 3 kids by the time you were 18?
No, I have 3 kids now. I had my first.
How old are you?
18. Huh?
How old are you?
21.
Oh, he's 21.
Totally different. Totally different, Tori. That's a lot of kids by 21.
Oh, he's a smooth talker. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah. Rico Suave.
Anyways, every now and again, from going to like a sitting to a standing position, I get this, like, pulling painful sensation basically in my balls and right above my penis.
Well, there's scarring that's left behind after a vasectomy, and a kind of pulling kind of feeling is not that uncommon. Otherwise, you're okay?
Yeah, it's just when I do that, when I go from a sitting to a standing position, I mean, it's just so painful that...
Every time?
What was that?
Every time?
Not every time, just like... It'll happen at least a good 2 to 3 times a day.
Wow. Well, then definitely get back to the urologist. There can be cysts, and there can be various things can... Usually this is a procedure without any complication, but you may have something going on there, perhaps some twisting of the spermatic cord or something. Ashley, you there? No. This is Jim. What's up, Jim? Jim?
Yeah?
There you are. You're on with Autumn Reeser.
Hi. I'm underage. I'm 17, and my girlfriend's 17 also. But we can't find a place to get it on.
Is that because she doesn't want to?
No, it's because we just can't find anywhere. Because always like, we can't do it at home or anything. Because our parents are always like, someone's always there.
Oh man, that's hard. That's difficult. Like in college, when I had my boyfriend in college, it was impossible. We used to drive up to Mulholland, and that doesn't work. There's cops.
Yeah.
It's really difficult when you know
Autumn,
your own place.
Autumn, is there a story there?
No, that's it.
I sense more.
Yeah, from my hometown, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I feel bad for this guy.
I don't know what to say, Jim. I'd say the roof. I would think my sort
planes
of
are too far away to see.
My suspicion is that your partner is not as enthusiastic as you are, because when both are enthusiastic, magically, every 17-year-old couple on Earth finds a place. Magically,
magically.
You guys are better than cockroaches, seriously. But if somebody's sort of dragging their feet and not into it, it's going to be no, not here. Nah, I don't feel comfy. That's because she's not here. Don't push too hard. Relax. Ashley, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
All right. Ashley Autumn is calling from the OC. What's up?
I just have a severe jealousy problem, and it's gotten to the point where I now realize that it's a problem. And my poor boyfriend, I feel so bad. He tries real hard to spend as much time with me as possible, and I understand that people need to spend time apart, but whenever he wants to leave me, I feel the worst tantrums. Like, I've hit him before, I've jumped on the hood of his car, I walked to his house in the middle of the night at 2 a.m, and I went to the doctor, and I'm on Lexapro. I'm on medication for panic attacks. But
what kind of doctor did you see?
A family practitioner. He's actually
you need to see a psychiatrist. That this is not the domain.
Why though? Like, that's what I don't understand. Is I've never been left before by anyone, and I don't understand why I'm so jealous. He's never cheated on me. He's a wonderful man. I've been with him for a year and a half, and he's with me.
When you say when he tries to leave, you mean when he, like, tries to go to work or something? You freak out?
No. Like, we'll sleep at each other's houses. We don't live with each other. I lived with someone for 3 years, and then we broke up. He broke up with me, and moved away, and I don't live with this boyfriend. I won't live with him until we get married. I've learned my lesson with that. I'm 24 years old, and I'm not going to live with someone like that anymore. So when he tries to go home at night to sleep by himself, like, if he wants a night alone, I think it's because he just doesn't want to be with me, or it's because he's going to go be with another girl. That's the only reason I can validate for him wanting to go home.
Is it a jealousy or a belief that he's going to cheat, or is it a fear of abandonment?
I don't know. All three.
Well, usually these are abandonment issues, and that's a personality thing. There's something going on there. And
is there anything I can say to him that, because he's so great for staying with me? Like, I just don't want. That happens all the time. I'll cry and I'll beg him not to go, and I'm just so afraid that he's not coming back.
Why don't you just have him, like, take pictures with a cell phone and send them to you wherever he is?
That costs money, Dr. Drew. Come on.
That was, believe me, that wasn't me, Ashley.
That's only $20 a month. It's worth it for your sanity.
There's you tell him, Ashley, I'm going to get therapy. I'm going to look into this a little bit, because this is an exaggerated response. And when abandonment is a core issue, there's usually a lot of other stuff going on. So is there anything else about your upbringing that makes abandonment a profound sort of a meaning to you?
My dad was an alcoholic, left me when I was like a year old with my mom.
There you go. Except for that.
My dad was there the whole time. Like, I had a dad my whole life. My stepdad's wonderful.
I know, but that experience of the biological dad leaving can be extremely problematic for young women sometimes.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry about that.
Man.
And so, again, rather than, it gets sort of a part of yourself gets walled off and can't really be touched without some
skillful
work.
Dr. Drew.
I'm not sure you're crazy, though you just act crazy once in a while.
Is it a good idea for me to be on Lexapro? Because it has subsided some of my
certainly
issues.
Yeah, certainly the anxiety and the mood problems can be helped with the Lexapro, but this is more than just that. And you really should consult with somebody who's a mental health professional, okay?
Hey, you know what? I really appreciate you talking to me. I've always listened to you, and I've always wanted to call you, and I really value your opinion, and I think you're an excellent doctor. So thank you very much.
Very kind. Now do what I told you, all right?
All right. Thank you, Autumn. I'm glad you're on the OC. You're beautiful, and I love you.
Oh, I love you, too.
That's right.
Autumn makes a great, creepy, intrusive, good-looking, threatening. imagine. Wait, I got to talk to Ashley again. Ashley.
Yeah.
Imagine if your boyfriend was hanging out with Autumn.
Okay, don't even go there.
That's not even funny.
But,
I mean, just think of her as Taylor even. Oh, brutal, right?
Right.
Having Taylor lurking around your boy. Taylor's lurking around your boyfriend at school. Oh.
Oh my God.
All right. Eric, what's happening?
Hi, Dr. Drew. I'm a gay male, but it seems like I don't like gay guys, like
gay guys just kind of annoy me and get on my nerves. They're all so femmy and self-absorbed. And I guess I'm wondering, is it me or is there something I can do or is it them? I don't know.
Taylor,
I seem like I like straight guys.
I mean, are you meeting them at certain places that... Because not all gay guys are like that, you know? And I know plenty of gay guys who are not like that. So, I mean, where are you... I don't know. Where are you meeting them at?
Parties, friends of friends, whatnot. It seems like I'm also pretty bad at picking out gay guys. Like, I've asked out more straight guys than gay ones. So, it's kind of frustrating, but I'm wondering if maybe I'm just looking at guys too critically, or if there are so many guys that are just so into themselves. It seems kind of like that the guys are so feminine, I might as well date women.
we're pretty much it's not ringing true for me, Autumn, as they say. Although I have heard of a lot of guys, gay men, complaining about this, that they tend to be sort of particularly preoccupied with straight men. And that's got to be a very frustrating thing to be. And I've never really found a specific reason for that I could hear. They seem to be varied reasons why guys get that way. But Eric didn't ring true to me for some reason. Melissa, what's happening? There's a much more important call coming up here. Come on, Melissa, what's up?
Oh, I kind of told you my problem.
Well, I'd like to hear it on the air here, please.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to hear it. I didn't hear it. Go ahead.
Oh, I kind of have a problem, with my boyfriend. Right before we have sex, he likes to pee on me for some kind of reason.
Perfectly normal, perfectly natural.
Oh, God.
And not just that, but, while we're having sex, he wants me to, rub my finger on his, anal thingy. I don't know. It's weird.
This is much better than Eric, don't you think?
Oh, my God. Have you ever told him not to pee on you?
Well... Yeah, I have, but he's, for some reason, it just turns him on.
Yeah, but
and
if you don't allow him to, you shouldn't let him. And if he insists, then he's not a very good boyfriend to you. You know? I mean, it's a partnership. Shouldn't be all what he wants.
This is actually very bewildering to Melissa Autumn. She can't quite handle this. What?
Oh, Lord.
I get to have feelings, too, in a relationship? Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Do you understand the question?
What was the question?
Oh.
Sorry.
Why do you allow him to do this?
I don't know.
All right, stop. You don't like it. Stop. It's fine.
Okay.
He'll survive. This guy obviously has tremendously delicate sensibilities. I mean, you're clearly just a poet, but hey, tell him to cut it out if you don't like it. Really, it's ridiculous.
What's
he doing
for a living?
Maybe I should just tell him to stop, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
There you go. That's up to you. That's a different issue. I certainly am suspicious about this guy. What does he do for a living?
What does he do for a living?
What does he do for a living?
He's
Melissa?
He goes to school. We go to, yeah.
What's he studying? Anatomy?
Criminal law.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be a cop.
Is that true?
I don't know. He's just studying criminal law.
All right. I mean, you know, the peeing on you stuff, I usually draw the line there, right?
Yeah.
How did they get started? How did he pull that one off, Melissa?
I don't know. It's like...
I mean, he just all of a sudden stood up and peed on you one day, or what? I mean, did this...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. No, you have to stand up for yourself in your relationship. It's much more attractive if a woman stands up for herself, you know?
Attractive or not, what is this with women where they subjugate themselves, put them through miserable experiences that they don't like for fear that guy won't like them, this guy that's peeing on them won't like them, or that maybe he'll leave, God willing. You know, come on, Melissa, all right? You're worth more than that. Especially, I mean, if you were into it, that'd be one thing, I guess, but you don't like it. Okay, right. Melissa's also quite a loquacious character. Autumn Reese are in here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. She stars in the Fox show. No one's ever heard of this show. It's called The OC. It's a little show on Thursday nights, 9 o'clock. And for sure you know Taylor if you've seen the show at all. Autumn, that's Autumn's character, Taylor. I didn't realize you invented the character so much. I had this feeling they wrote it that way, but that's sort of quite a testimony to your acting ability that you created. No, really. I mean, you created. I can. You you know, I mean, that's a hard character to write for. You really filled it out and created it, and hats off. It's become an important part of the show now.
I have a lot of fun with her, and it's the writers write me, like, the funniest lines. I crack up every time I read the script. I love what they write for me.
Give me an example. Something happened today?
Oh, man. The one that I just have a good one coming up in the one that we just shot. I can't tell you.
All right. When's it coming out? When's that going to air?
That one's the prom episode, so I think that's in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Fantastic.
But there's all sorts of good stuff.
Again, the phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Flings here and there. I think that's what's really interesting about Taylor, actually. You know, she seems like the type of person who'd be like a prude and like, don't do this, and like, but she's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
with the dean, and like she has all this sex advice to give. That was a fun episode that I did, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
She's got some issues.
Yeah.
This is Veronica. What's up, Veronica?
Hi. I've had this boyfriend for 6 months, and we're really close, and I really, really love him. But like a year ago, I hooked up with one of his good friends before I even knew him. And I didn't think anything of it because I didn't think me and that guy were ever going to see each other or talk to each other again. And now it turns out that I've been dating his best friend for like 6 months. And now, like, my boyfriend's kind of kept us apart, but now, like, we're all kind of hanging out more. And that guy has a girlfriend too now, but like.
Did your boyfriend know that you and he had a thing at one time?
Yeah, he knows, and he's, like, fine with it, because, you know, it's not...
Yeah, he's fine with it. That's why he kept you guys separated.
Well, he's kind of fine with it, but, yeah, I mean, it weirds him out, but it's, like, he knows that I don't really like that guy, but for some reason, when we get back together in the same room, like, especially if, like, we've been drinking or anything, like, it's just, like, all of those feelings come rushing back, and you're just, like, for some reason, we started talking, and, like, and I don't know, like, we exchanged phone numbers and started, like, emailing each other and stuff, and, like...
Oh, no.
And it feels bad. Like, I feel like I'm cheating on my boyfriend. I mean, we haven't done anything or said anything, like...
But you're starting to, like, emotionally cheat on him.
Yeah, and it feels really bad, and I feel horrible for it, but, like, I mean...
You are, like, one margarita away from cheating.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's what's so scary, and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to ever cheat on him because I love him, but I feel like I could tell. I feel horrible for even, like, thinking or talking to him.
You've got to decide what you want and then do it, and don't do the other thing that's going to screw it up. Just don't do it.
Or screw it up and go the other way.
Yeah, just pick one.
I'm like, I don't answer his calls anymore, and I don't email him anymore, and I'm like, okay, we can't do this because it kind of feels weird. But then we all go to parties together, and I see him, and then we start talking, and it's just like, it's bad. And
here's what you know, I'm sure your boyfriend's aware of it too. You know, Veronica, what you got to do is sort of look at your relationship history. Do you have healthy relationships?
No.
Oh, so this guy.
That's what's so bad. He's so prone to, like, cheating or ruining, not so much cheating, but ruining relationships for myself. Like, I tend to ruin.
And this is a bad guy too, right? This is sort of a more dangerous guy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is
with all the guys I used to date, it was him, and like now I have this really good guy, and I'm gonna mess it up, and I don't want to. I really don't want to.
Well, you better decide. It's going to be a lifetime of chaos with danger or intimacy with nice guys.
It's up to you. I mean, it's you that's in charge of it, you know? There's no one else in charge of that, so, you know.
I don't know why, like, I want to ruin, like, things, or I'll make stuff up. Like, I'll get into fights with him for no reason, like...
Because somewhere in your upbringing, you were attached to not a bad person, but an unavailable or chaotic or abusive person. And so that becomes something that you're immensely attracted to now in your adult life. And when you actually have to have real relationships and are vulnerable and are actually getting close to somebody, that becomes intolerable. So you have to F it up. You have to go back to the bad guy and or sabotage this one by just fighting with him.
Well, how do I not do that?
Well, you're kind of making a move in that direction by not, you know, setting the boundaries down, not answering the emails. You can decide not to do this kind of thing. You don't have to go in that direction. By not being around the guy, you know, you're not going to cheat probably. But if you're unable to sort of sustain in a relationship that is close and real, then you got to get some therapy. Or have a life of chaos, which is what a lot of people do.
I don't want that. But, like, some of my friends tell me that I need to break up with my boyfriend because that means that I don't love him. And that.
No, I believe you don't want a life of chaos, Veronica. Did you grow up in chaos?
No, not at all. My parents are, like, marriage counselors.
All right. I believe you don't want to be in chaotic life. It's time for you to outgrow the bad boy thing. It's fine that they're super exciting and attractive and stuff. I think you're capable of quite a bit more.
So I don't have to, like, it doesn't mean that I don't love him, right? Because that's, like,
no,
the serious part.
No, but it does, you do have to make some choices. It may mean that he's not exciting enough. I'm not saying you...
I've talked to him about that, and he really, it makes him mad that I bring... Oh, it doesn't make him mad, but it makes him, like, I mean...
He may not be the one, because when you're like you are, you got to have enough excitement for there to be some passion in the relationship, but not so much that you're, you know, that you're full of chaos, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck. Alyssa, what's happening there? Alyssa?
Hello?
What's happening? You're on with Autumn Research. She is Taylor Townsend.
Hi.
Hello. What's happening there?
I have a boyfriend. His name's Jimmy, and we've been going on and off for about a year, I think. And for the past, since this new girl came into town, he likes her more, I guess, because she puts out more than I did.
Wait a minute. I'm confused. This is your boyfriend?
My ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. And now he's hanging out with a new girl.
Yeah. And you think I really do not like her.
It's because she's a hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your boyfriend will get what he deserves. Don't worry. How old is he?
He's about 15.
About?
Yeah, he's turning 15 in 3 days.
He's 14, for crying out loud. Come on. That's awful. Thank God you're away from this guy. He hangs out with a bad person. He's exploiting her. He's getting into stuff he shouldn't be into at 14. I've got a crystal ball, Alyssa, and I'm looking at his future. It doesn't look pretty. So count your blessings. Tell me about this guy. He's not the kind of guy you want to hang out with, is it?
I mean, he's like the guy... My first real boyfriend that I've had in, like, my whole life, I guess.
I know. It's very hard to give that up. Autumn, help me here.
It is, but how old are you?
I'm 15.
You have so much more time to date, you know, so many more people should you desire. But, you know, just don't fixate on this one. He doesn't sound like he's that great of a guy. You already had trouble for a year.
Yeah.
You know?
And when kids, like, when guys get into this kind of behavior at 14, it's just a bad sign.
What do you mean she puts out more than you do?
Because, we go to the same school, right? And she went to the same school as us now. And she came up to him and bent over and told him that she wanted to screw him in the school's auditorium.
Oh,
Anderson? Anderson, that's what she means by putting out. See, dude?
That's not putting out, though. That's just teasing. Please.
And now they're going out, and they're like,
So why don't you drop some stuff in front of them tomorrow and bend over?
No.
I'm kidding.
Well, the bad thing is, I want to, like, forget about him, but he lives across the street from my best friend.
Get a new friend.
My best friend's Chad. And they...
Oh, it's a boyfriend? It's a male friend?
Yeah, it's a male friend.
I promise you he's into you, Chad.
He is.
I know.
And I do not like him like that. He's like my older brother.
You're torturing him. You think you've got it bad with your ex-boyfriend. How about poor Chad and you?
Aww. She'll hook up with him, though, just to get back at her old boyfriend.
Oh, brutal. Alyssa, this is all normal stuff. Relax. But I promise you these words will ring in your head in the future, and that is count your blessings that you're away from this ex-boyfriend.
Hey, Drew?
I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Why did I just see you wandering around the Coliseum by yourself?
Oh, you saw the Viagra commercial?
Yeah, just wandering around the Coliseum all by yourself.
It's not wandering around.
There's no sporting event going on. No one else was there. It was just you wandering.
That's the Coliseum that you can fill up multiple times with all the guys with the ED.
Oh, see, I couldn't hear it. I just saw it.
So you got to see the commercial. It's actually a good little campaign. It's about they found that erectile dysfunction is about as predictive or more predictive maybe even than cholesterol and high blood pressure. In terms of risk for heart disease. And so we're trying to get guys to go to their doctor.
A lot of phallic symbols in there, too.
And a lot of tunnels and things, too, if you notice.
Yes. And a big oval field with a phallic symbol going right towards it.
The tunnel, we had a portable, like a little mini helicopter to film that thing. It was like 9 feet across. And they brought in a guy from Belgium to fly it. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's a commercial I did that's going to air around. So.
Well, I must say, you look quite hot, Drew.
Well, good. Thank you. How did you happen to see that?
Because I'm observant. I was looking around the room, and I saw something hot on the screen. I looked up. There you were.
So Adam, do you have a boyfriend now? Are you married?
No, I do have a boyfriend. We've been together for a long time.
How long?
Over 4 years.
What's taking him so long? What's going on here?
We're happy how it is. You know, no rush. It's kind of weird to be married. You're still playing high school, you know? It's kind of weird. Oh. I'm not in a rush. I'm fine with how it is right now.
That's very funny. And do you guys live together?
Yeah, we do.
And this, where do you guys live now? You said you lived in Hollywood?
We live out in Hollywood. Yeah, we have a cute little house.
And what's he do for a living?
He's an actor and a writer.
Is that working out okay? I mean, because you're, you know, is he as successful as you are?
It works out really well. You know, we're both supportive of each other, and I think that's the most important thing, that, you know, that you're supportive of who you're with, and that you're really, truly happy for them when they succeed, and both of us are like that. We have a really great relationship. I'm really grateful that I have him. We met at college, but we didn't start dating till after college.
That's cool. And, you know, you seem very healthy, Autumn, for playing such a good nut job on TV. I wasn't sure what we were going to find here with Autumn.
I don't like too much craziness in my life. I like things pretty organized, and, you know, there's so much craziness in the acting world anyway that it's kind of like I like to keep all of that there, and I like my life to work pretty smoothly.
We're going to take another little break here. That is Autumn Reeser. She is Taylor Townsend on the OC. Fox Thursday, 9 o'clock. And I've been describing Taylor, but everyone knows who Taylor is. She's was the nemesis for Summer and is now becoming one of the kids on the show. And there's some upcoming shows that feature her, including one with the that I want to see because you've got some big zingers in there, which is the prom show, right?
The prom episode, yeah.
The prom episode.
It's a good
1-800-LOVE-191 is our number. We're going to take a little break and be right back. There we go with more Loveline. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Autumn Reeser is the guest, Taylor Townsend. OC, Fox Thursday, 9 o'clock. Hey, you know, Anderson, that highly symbolic ad was directed by David Duchovny's brother.
Really?
A guy named Danny Duchovny. Great guy. You'd actually love him.
Wait, Autumn, I got a question. Autumn, and her character is the nemesis of a girl named Summer?
Yes.
My mind just blew.
I brought this up a couple times already.
That's the best part is I didn't hear it.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Mel, what's happening? All right, no, hey. Oh, please. Here you go, Mel. You're on with Autumn Reeser.
Oh, hey. I'm about to make a complete fool of myself, and the only reason I'm calling this line is because I have no idea who in the world I can talk to about it. I'm 27 years old. I'm the oldest of three kids, and I'm the only one who has never dated, never had sex, never kissed, never nothing.
Do you have a normal sex drive?
Well, yeah.
No, I ask that because sometimes there can be subtle changes in libido caused by hormonal problems. There's something called a prolactinoma or prolactin-secreting tumor. A guy named Ken Baker, who's the editor of Us Magazine, wrote a book called Man Made. He grew up kind of like you. He was like, really wasn't that interested in girls, wasn't that interested in sports. Turned out he had a tumor in his pituitary. They took it out, and he wrote about this incredible transformation that occurred in a very, very short period of time. So sometimes it's just diminished drive that contributes to this. Is there something else? You're having anxiety, or do you have social phobia?
Well, I don't know if it's a social phobia or what. It's not like I don't go out. You know, I've been out of the closet for 3 years now.
Wait. I'm confused.
What?
Mel's a female?
Yeah, sure, from Melissa.
I'm sorry. I was hearing the pitch on your voice, and I was going down the sort of.
She did that on purpose. She was trying to like pull one over on you so she could feel good about herself because she wanted to be a man.
I was going track of a male with a hormonal problem. So all right, so you're female and you're lesbian.
Yeah.
And you want to go on a date with women.
Yeah, and I'm kind of coming out of a relationship with somebody. She was my best friend and.
Like you said, you've never been on a date.
No, it wasn't it was just friends, and I wanted it to be more, and she didn't want it to be that, and now we can't even be friends because of her girlfriend. And I've gotten so scared over all of that, you know, just having my heart stomped on that I don't know what to do anymore.
Autumn, got any advice?
I mean, are you meeting anyone?
I don't know how anymore. I mean, I'm 27 years old. One would think that I would have MySpace, done something by now.
Oh, yeah, MySpace.
I don't know. I don't understand. It's just like any other social sort of endeavor. You go out, you meet people, you sort of socialize and network, and you develop a group of friends, and they introduce you to people, and that's, you know, you go to places where people congregate with similar interests and similar sexual orientation. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah,
you're throwing up roadblocks everywhere. You're just saying, I can't do this, I won't do this, I'm not able to do this, and my heart's been stomped on by somebody whom I didn't have a relationship with, by the way. It was just your friend who I'm sure was clear with you all the whole way that you were not in a romantic relationship. You allowed yourself to get obsessed with that, even though that was never going to work and you knew it. You got to get control of yourself and really go out there and find some people who are actually available for a relationship. It's kind of silly. Come on. Don't you think, Mel?
Yeah.
All right, let's go do it. And you said you have other brothers and sisters?
I've got a brother in the Army and a sister who has lost track of the number of sexual partners she's had.
Female?
Male. No, she's straight. She's as straight as they come.
Something go on in your family where everybody's sort of acting out sexually?
Well, I have no idea what it is. Maybe if it's just the religious upbringing that we had that I'm still attached to, or...
And so you can't admit that you're gay? You can't bring it up? You can't come out of... You said you're out of the closet. What?
I am. And so just, maybe it's... I don't know if it's a mental block. My biggest issue is I don't just want to go have a one-nighter with somebody. I want to have a decent relationship, but I don't...
What do you do for a living?
I work for a bank.
All right. Well, the way you approach your career, you need to approach your dating. You've got to go out there, systematically meet people, network, build a base, and start dating.
Yeah.
You don't have to sleep with everybody you date. Just start going out and meeting people. Anna, what's happening?
Get a job selling peanuts at a WNBA game.
Thank you. Well done, Anderson. Thank you. Anna, what's up?
I'm like 21, and I've been living a double life for about 3 years now, and I have no idea where to go from here because I'm completely at a dead stop right now.
Ooh, she's a spy.
What have the two, double agent, what have the two lives been?
Okay, I'm married to one guy who's been in love with me since I was 14. We've been married for about 3 years, and we've never had sex.
What?
I just don't like him that way. I was just one stupid night going to Reno, getting married, and then we just
get unmarried.
Yeah, I know I was going to, and then just things happened. Really bad things, and
oh, man.
So
Wait. What really bad things happened?
Well, it's like we accumulated bills together because we still stayed friends. I told him, I was like, well, if we're going to stay married, then I want to be friends first because, you know, we haven't seen each other in so long. And he's like, okay, I'm fine with that. So we accumulated bills, and we're both trying to pay them off, and a divorce would just cost more, and I really can't afford to be paying all this.
All right, what's your other life? That all sounds like
I have a fiancé. I was just expecting to just have sex with them, and that was it. And then we just both fell for each other, and we live with each other, and we have a child together.
What?
Yeah, and I'm just completely lost because I don't want to be with this other guy, and I don't exactly know how to say no without, you know, him trying to ruin my whole life. Because he's kind of one of those creepy stalker ones where he follows you around like a little puppy dog until you...
Which one is? The guy that you're married to?
Yeah.
What? What did your husband think while you were pregnant?
I told him I was drunk, and I don't exactly remember what happened. He's like, well, I forgive you because I love you so much. And I was like,
whatever. And what does your fiancé think about your husband?
He doesn't know I'm married. That's the problem.
Oh, that's a beautiful situation. Somebody's going to get killed.
Oh,
you know what I mean? This is so egregious.
This is a movie. I'm stealing this. I'm writing this. Wow.
What happened to you, Anna? What kind of horrible... Was your mom a prostitute or something? You live in just total chaos?
It's not exactly how I grew up. I mean, well, I grew up with both my parents scamming every system possible, so I learned from that.
Yeah, I just get sociopath from top to bottom. Female sociopaths are sort of rare, but you sort of fit that category.
Gee, thanks.
Well, I'm
I'm trying to change, and I'm sick of the way that I've treated people. I don't want to be like this, but I don't know how to fix it all. And, you know,
what kind of hell did your, other than scamming everyone and being sort of criminal-like, what other hell did your parents put you through?
Just abuse. I mean, not like physical, but mental.
Yeah.
I had a lot of things happen to me when I was younger by their friends, and then when I got older, and I tried to run away because my dad was an asshole. He just told me.
Okay. Anna. So Anna was sexually abused at 5 years of age. She lived with criminal parents, and now she is. I need like to airdrop a team of therapists over where Anna is right now. This is a really serious situation. Anna, I think you got to end the marriage. I do not want to tell you what to do, but you have to create boundaries. You have to stability and boundaries is what you need, and you're going to need help with this because this is such a colossal mess that I don't see you extricating this from by yourself. And at least on behalf of the child, my God, there's a child in the middle of all this. Let's make something out of it. Get some guidance. Get some help. Help end the relationship with the so-called husband. Maybe get something going with that boyfriend, but God only knows what kind of guy that is. We got to take another break. I mean, that one could take all night. In fact, if the screeners want to bring Anna back tomorrow night, I'd be happy to talk to her some more because we could talk to her every night all week and not even scratch the surface on that one. Autumn Reese in here with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up in just a few seconds. Autumn, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope you will come back again soon. If you really listen regularly, I hope you will.
I do.
All right. We're going to have you back again soon then, all right?
Cool. Thanks. I had a great time.
Keep an eye out for Autumn. She is Taylor Townsend on the OC, Fox Thursday night. And look out for the prom show. And thanks again, Autumn. Tomorrow night, Joel McHale from The Soup. Until then, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well. And now he's hanging out with a new girl.
Yeah. Do not like her.
It's because she's a hoe.
Yeah.